Well, good Monday, football fans. Welcome to the Soccer Central podcast. I'm James Shum, joined as always by John Molinaro. A busy show as usual today. We'll get to the Premier League weekend and perhaps some Italian Serie A chat at some point, as well as, of course, the Champions League semi-finals. We'll preview those later today as well, J-Mo. Have you come down from your high, though, from the Juve? I mean, what drama it's been in the Serie A this year at the top.
I'm not complaining. I mean, if we can win the title at a canter, then fine. I mean, I'd really like to see them do well in Europe, though. I mean, I think the fact that they're in the semifinals with a pretty good draw against Real Madrid, I'm expecting big things. So that, for me, is going to be the litmus test of the season.
I'll give you a blank canvas on that later in today's show.
Okay.
But we'll start today's show on the domestic front. As big as last week was in the Champions League, with Montreal, of course, falling pretty hard in the end to Club America. It's another big week. With the Amway Championships starting up, Montreal take on Toronto FC on Wednesday. Vancouver take on Edmonton. Both games can be found on Sportsnet World. Also 360 for the late one, the Vancouver match. And also TFC Montreal streamed online for free on sportsnet.ca.
Yeah.
Correct?
That's correct.
You got it all right?
You got that all right.
Nice.
Obvious.
I'm
great.
A professional broadcaster. The man laughing is really actually a professional broadcaster. It is Paul Dolan. Paul, welcome back to the show, mate.
Good to be back, fellas.
So let's talk about this tournament. We know the CSA ideally long-term want more teams involved. As it stands right now, are you happy with the way this tournament's put together, or could it be tweaked and improved?
No, I like the way it's set up right now. I saw an article this morning that suggested perhaps that they didn't need the play-in, that they'd just go ahead with the MLS teams and do type of a Cascadia-type scenario where they play each other within the league. But I absolutely like the way the thing is set up right now, very similar to what you see in Europe, where teams have to kind of prioritize one way or another or balance their schedule and their team to make sure that that they put themselves for the best they can in whatever event they think is the one that's most important to the club. So, you know, if, for instance, Toronto FC wants to prioritize the playoffs rather than the possibility of playing in the CONCACAF Champions League, then maybe they play a more makeshift team. But, you know, I think that the MLS clubs are strong enough with their depth that they can challenge the NASL clubs very well, as they've done in the past. And I think the fact that there's a Voyageurs Cup mid-season that has a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League is very important.
Yeah, it should be pointed out, too, that the Champions League spot isn't for this season. It will be for next year. So that's something to keep in mind. But, Paul, I mean, how much of a priority do you think – you talked about Toronto there, and how much of a priority do you think it is for Vancouver, though? Because this is a tournament that they've never won. I know it's a sore spot within the organization. It kind of rankles that they haven't won this. How seriously do you think they're going to be taking it?
I think when you look at what happened with Montreal and the fact that not just from a development point of view where you got players to play in such high-level situations like at the Aztec or at Pachuca or in Alajuelense, probably even more bizarre circumstances, but players who get a chance to play in CONCACAF and young Canadian players who get that experience as well. But financially, how important it was. You know, 61,000 fans at the Big O, that's a big windfall for Joey Saputo and Montreal Impact. Now, they spent a lot to prepare for it. You saw the focus they put on it. They invested in having the team actually have their MLS preseason training in Mexico to get used to the altitude ahead of the game against Pachuca. And they flew in early as well, private jet and all, to Mexico City for the game against Club America. So they did invest, but I think financially it also paid off. And they were 45 minutes away from playing against the best teams in the world at the Club FIFA World Cup Championship, which, you know, is no small feat. So I think the Whitecaps will prioritize it, maybe not more so than what they do with their MLS playoffs. You won't see their starting 11, I don't think. But should they get behind in the series, I think you'd see the best 11 at home in Vancouver against Edmonton for sure. And for two reasons, like you said, John, they've never won it outright. Now, they are going to represent Canada because they were the best team in MLS last season. So for this fall's CONCACAF Champions League, they'll be the Canadian representative. But, yeah, they want to win the thing outright, finally wrested away from Toronto and Montreal, who've kind of owned the thing, and also represent Canada in the CONCACAF Champions League going forward.
This tournament, is it, Do you feel that the MLS teams and the NASL teams, for that matter, is it incumbent upon them to play more Canadians? Because I think this is the argument that always comes up, that this is the Canadian sort of championship. It's for the Voyageurs Cup. It's a Canadian tournament. Normally, a lot of these Canadian players don't get a lot of playing time in MLS, although, you know, that's not always the case. I mean, there's a couple of Canadians starting regularly for Vancouver. But do these teams have a responsibility to have more Canadian content in these games, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good way you ask the question. Is it incumbent upon them, or do they have the responsibility? I think in an indirect way, yes. And, you know, I'm a massive proponent of wanting to see Canadian soccer develop for multiple reasons. One is having played as a Canadian player and having watched as a fan when I was a youngster, wanting to play on the Canadian team. I was inspired by seeing Canadian players in the Whitecaps lineup when I was a 10-year-old going to Empire Stadium. And that helped me want to support the Canadian national team because I knew the players who were playing in the NASL teams. And I think also down the road here, having not been back to the World Cup, we want to see whatever we can to allow players to play at the highest level. And if that means playing in Canadian championship games for the Voyageurs Cup, or if it means playing in MLS games, then I'm all for it. So I would like to see the Canadian teams play more Canadians. I think this tournament lends itself to the fact that we probably will see more, although there's a USL rule now, I think, in place that makes it more difficult to just kind of send the USL players directly into the squads that play
right in
the Voyageurs Cup. But I'm sure that Whitecaps will trot out Sam Adekubi, for one. I'm sure we'll see Russell Tybert, obviously, who's the two players that you mentioned, John, that are in the first team anyway. But in terms of Toronto, you know, hoping to see Jonathan Azzario in there. I think Ashton Morgan has done a phenomenal job since kind of reclaiming his place at left back. I mean, that to me has been one of the stories of the year for Toronto FC.
Yeah.
But it's difficult, though, isn't it, if you're Carl Robinson or Greg Vanney, because we all know that the life of a coach could be quite short, and it's all about, you know, getting results now. Developing Canadian talent's one thing in the big picture, sure. But if you're Robbo, for example, you know, yeah, it'd be great, ideally, have a lot of Canucks in there who can compete at the highest level. But, I mean, he is also shackled, too, with what he has. And Tybert may be the one exception there, but he's got to be playing the best team at this point to build his career.
No, I agree with that. Although, I think if there's ever a 50-50 ball, it's got to go to the Canadian, especially if you're a Canadian team. And, you know, I hate to keep harkening back to the old NASL, but I think it did some things that were right, as much as the league didn't survive because of the things they did wrong. The fact that they enforced a law that had three Canadians, or North Americans as it was for the U.S. teams as well, but three North Americans in the lineup at any one time, meant that you had to kind of trust the young Canadians. It gave them that game experience. And when there was a 50-50 ball, it went their way, you know, so to speak. And it allowed them to develop to the point where I think it helped us qualify for the 1986 World Cup, because those players were playing high-level competitive games in a good league. And MLS is a good league. And so I think it is incumbent to, you know, kind of go back to your word there, John, to get the teams to play Canadians and develop them. As much as you want to win, you know, I think that there is an onus on them that they need to include players when it's close.
Montreal is an interesting one, too, because obviously the two-time defending champions, I'm sure they'd love to retain it. But Wednesday's game at Stade Saputo is coming a week after that, you know, the CONCACAF high, or low, as the case were, against Club America. And plus, they're going to have to get back in MLS mode because they've only played four games. They've got a lot of games to make up and some ground to make up as well. So with all that in mind, I mean, how much do you think they're going to prioritize this?
Well, again, I think they will prioritize it because of they've seen it firsthand more than anyone else what it can lead to. I know it's the small baby steps in front of a, you know, a half-empty stadium because the Montreal Canadiens are playing that night too, which doesn't help. But I think they see what can become of it from small steps and from small beginnings. And they also need to get themselves back up and running so that they have a team that's prepared to play in MLS. They haven't played, as you say, in a number of weeks now, and you know, they'll have the game against Toronto, again, perhaps not with their full squad, but they've got to change their mindset now so that they make sure that they can get into the rigors of a long MLS season to try to get themselves into a playoff position.
You're going to be in Edmonton for the calling the Edmonton FC Edmonton versus Vancouver Whitecaps first leg on Wednesday. Have you been following Edmonton this year? What kind of a proposition do you think they're going to pose the Whitecaps?
No, I have been. I watched both the games against Ottawa. I watched the game on the weekend just now that they tied against Minnesota when they had a man sent off and conceded a late penalty. And that seems to have been the story for the Eddies for the last couple of seasons. You know, I'm friends with Colin Miller and right. keep in touch with him regularly to kind of see how that team is doing. And it just seems one game after another, they've seemed to run into some tough luck on the officiating side. But I think they're a relatively strong side. They've got pretty good offensive output, which is different from what we've seen in the past. They've just been conceding so many goals early. So if the Whitecaps can get on the board, I think in Edmonton early, get that away goal, it'll make it difficult, I think, for the Eddies when they come back here. But conversely, if they can get things right, Edmonton's got some firepower getting forward, and we might see a lot of goals in that game.
Now, Vancouver's sit right now tied tops in MLS with 17 points. That being said, you know, you watch the team closely, and there's some inconsistencies, you know, in that lineup. They tied Portland 0-0 in the big derby this past weekend, but it is certainly a build for Carl Robinson, but you know, so far so good. They've been getting the results when they had to. As mentioned, 17 points. But how good can this team be, do you think, when the best players start playing like the best players?
I think that they've got the ability to be one of the better teams in the West, which translates into one of the better teams in the entire league. They, you know, the last four games, I think they've only won the one game. But again, they've been very good on the road. They've focused kind of like what Greg Vanney's done in the last couple of games for Toronto on a kind of defense-first mentality to ensure that they're difficult to break down, and if they can get teams on the counter, they'll look to score. It was another kind of dreary road performance, I have to say, the game in Portland, much like I thought the game in Salt Lake was. But in the game against Real Salt Lake, they were able to get a late goal from Darren Maddox, and it just wasn't forthcoming against Portland. But I think they've got the players, certainly. You know, you look at a Pedro Morales in the middle of the park and a Matias Laba on the other side of the coin in the defensive position. That might be the best kind of defense and offensive midfielders in the entire league. But unfortunately, Pedro Morales has been a little inconsistent, and particularly away from home, and no one can really pinpoint exactly why that is. It's not as if he has any less space generally when he's away from home. I think he's buoyed by the home crowd for whatever reason. You think a player of his pedigree and stature would kind of have balanced that. But I think that team does have the ability with the pace they've got up front. Rivero's been a phenomenal find for them. He's on a bit of a slump right now, not having scored, but I think a lot of that is down to a lack of service. So once the Morales gets himself back up and running, I think they'll be a very dangerous team.
Toronto earned a 1-0 victory over Philadelphia Union on the weekend, courtesy of a fabulous goal from Sebastian Giovinco. That's two wins and two clean sheets on the road, no less. What do you make of this sort of defensive turnaround?
Well, it's just a mindset. And, you know, when I spoke to Greg Vanney before the two games we did in Salt Lake and in Chicago, he said that his team identity, he wanted it to be aggressive, and that meant aggressive defensively, getting tight, shutting down the service, you know, being tight to the ball, wanting to win the ball. And offensively, too. And that meant sometimes, I think, sacrificing players forward. We saw it particularly against Columbus, where I think sometimes they sent players into advanced positions maybe a little bit too much, trying to play entertaining and attractive attacking soccer. But then they were caught stretched in behind. And, of course, they had Justin Morrow sent off in that game. And then the service from the flanks wasn't shut down when they were a man short. And they ended up losing that game. And I think finally, after it got to four losses on the trot, they said, we've just got to shut up shop here, especially away from home. As much as we want to attack and be entertaining, it's not our job, and the onus isn't on us to do that away from home. Let's get clean. We're playing a couple of teams in Orlando and Philadelphia where if we limit their chances, it's very unlikely they're going to score. And we've got the quality going forward in guys like you suggested there, John, and Giovinco, and obviously Altidore in the Orlando game, that can make their magic happen with a few touches once they get the space on the counter. So it's just been a defense-first mentality that has worked. As I said, some of the players have really stepped up. I wouldn't say that that back four is solidified now in the shape they're in, with Justin Morrow kind of playing out of position at right back, but he's been solid there. I mentioned Ashton Morgan's been very good. and Nick Hagelin's a lot more comfortable in the middle of the park with Damien Perkis. So I think overall it's just kind of a shift in mindset that's seen them get their last two clean sheets.
3 weeks back, many fans and media had Greg Vanney being fired, and now he's being linked with the Maple Leaf head coach.
Yes.
So it's amazing. I love this sport of ours, Paul. I really do. Great job, mate. Really enjoyed that, and we'll chat to you soon. Enjoy the games this week.
Okay, will do.
Cheers, Paul.
That is Paul Dolan. You can follow Paul on Twitter at Dolly the Goalie.
Yes.
And he'll be calling with Rob Falls the Vancouver Edmonton game this Wednesday, 10 o'clock.
Eastern,
yep. That's right.
On SN360 and SN World.
And, of course, as mentioned before, TFC Montreal at 7:30 on Sportsnet World and streamed online for free, sportsnet.ca.
You said that exactly like I wrote it for you, James.
Bang. Amazing. But it is amazing, the TFC turnaround. I mean, another few results and it could be the other way again. But listen, 9 points after this hellish road trip to start the season.
Pretty good.
They would have taken 9 points, wouldn't they?
Back in April. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know on the surface people are going to say, well, it's only 9 out of a possible 21 points, but you have to keep in mind that the majority of MLS teams pick up the majority of their points at home. Mm-hmm. Anything you can pick up on the road is just gravy. And if you can average more than a point per game on the road, then you're ahead of the game. And they've done that with 9 points from 7 games. So now comes, you know, the interesting part, because they've got the home opener on Sunday against Houston. It's been very much out of sight, out of mind, I think, for TFC. So they're going to have to really reconnect with this fan base. So I'll be interested to see how they do, because their next six of their eight league games are at home from now until June. So this is going to be a crucial run for TFC, I think.
And they're hoping for a sellout this Sunday. 30,000 seats now, right?
Yeah,
so
I think they'll
get it. So the expanded stadium, we're going to see. Yeah, I think, well, certainly for the home opener.
After that, that'll be
the question,
right?
And can they maintain momentum? Yes. This city does like a winner, and they'll jump on a bandwagon. So if they keep winning and build something, I mean, Christ, we're crying out for something in this city, right? So even a conversation about playoffs that I think most sports fans will take.
So
we shall see. All right, weekend across Europe, you mentioned Juventus.
Yes.
They clinched in the Italian Serie A, beat Sampdoria 1-0.
Yep.
Yeah, saw that coming about
mile away.
3 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. But I tell you this much, Max Allegri should get some credit, right?
Because absolutely.
When he joined the club late in the preseason, wasn't it? When Conte took the Italy job. He was, you know, people were quite disappointed it was Max Allegri. I mean, what's you done? You know, former Milan coach, you know, not that experienced. You know, can't we get someone better? He's made a seamless transition with that team.
Yeah, he's
Conte to this.
He's done an excellent job, and I hold my hand up too, because I was very skeptical when they brought him in, and I thought, keep in mind too that Allegri was the guy who essentially pushed Pirlo out of AC Milan before he joined Juventus. So I kind of thought, well, that's an interesting dynamic, and I wonder how that's going to work. But he's done an excellent job in just sort of continuing on with what Conte did, but tweaking it a little bit, and I think giving them a little bit more edge and a more bite. And, he's received some great contributions from people like Carlos Tevez, who I think has been lights out this year. Alvaro Morata has really enjoyed a breakout season, the young Spaniard up front. And Paul Pogba has really emerged, I think, as one of the, next sort of big superstars in the global game.
Do you think he's going to stay this summer? I mean, out of all the players in world football right now, no one's getting linked more to more clubs than Paul Pogba.
Right.
I mean, they don't want to sell him, obviously, but if someone comes with, you know, 60 million euros in their pocket, do you think they could buy it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Juventus has a track record of selling guys on, but not on cheap. So, you know, Zidane is the perfect example. And from, you know, the proceeds from that, they went out and bought Thuram, Gigi Buffon, Pavel Nedved. They did okay in that exchange.
That's how you invest.
That's how
a massive amount of money, unlike other teams we've seen in the last few years.
And that's the Juventus model. I mean, they sell big, but then they buy big as well. And they, you know, they don't blow all of the cash that they make on a transfer, but they do spend on, you know, replacing the key players that they've sold on. So I think if they get an offer in that 60 to 7 million range, it'd be very hard for them to turn down. I mean, I hope Pogba stays.
Yeah, what a shame, though.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
If they do that, they have to retain Vidal, though, because that's another guy being linked with moves to God. Yeah, teams.
I think he's going to stay. I mean, I think he just signed a new deal. I mean, not that means anything, but I suspect that he's going to be there for the long haul. And everything I'm reading is that Pogba wants to stay. Again, you take that with a grain of salt. But if they can retain him for even like another season or two, I think that'd be massive for Juventus.
Yeah, well, I mean, from a footballing standpoint, why would he leave at this point? You know, you're on a dominant team domestically.
Yeah.
You're established yourself now as one of the elite teams in European football.
Yeah.
You know, semifinals this week, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great place for him to grow and develop.
Yeah.
He's still developing, which is amazing because he's still on the cusp of being that elite player.
Well, that's a good point, James, because I'm not sure, like, if he were to go, where would he go? And would he get regular playing time? Like,
it's
think
about it. I mean, who could afford him, right? It's probably four or five teams.
There's that.
And we know who they are.
Right. I mean, I'm sure if Manchester City really wanted to pony up the dough, they would, and he could probably start there. But, I mean, would he get much regular playing time at Real Madrid or at Bayern Munich?
Well, you think about the position he plays, at Real, he probably would.
Yeah, maybe. Right? I don't know.
And at Barca? It's hard to say, isn't it?
Would they, you know, what would that mean for Busquets and Mascherano?
That's my point, yeah, exactly. I mean, Mascherano is playing a lot of centre-back these days.
Right.
Probably more than midfield. Busquets, you can't drop Busquets, I don't think. I know he hasn't been quite to the heights of two or three years ago, but he's still very good for that.
I just don't see him going to Real because he's not the kind of player that they sign, right?
No, I know.
I mean, they've got how many midfielders that they have, but they don't have a sort of a battler like him. They've never really, well, I guess I shouldn't say never because Makelele
was there, yeah.
And, but he was
and
the
some,
last.
Some say they've missed that.
Absolutely. I would argue he's exactly the type of player that they need, but I'm not sure that they can kind of see the forest from the trees that would sign him.
Well, I mean, Sami Khedira is probably leaving there, right? He hasn't really worked out there.
Right.
Mainly through injuries.
Right.
Modric. He's brilliant when he's healthy.
Yep.
You can see Pogba sitting beside Modric, can't you?
Yeah. I mean,
another play, he plays more of a 4-4-2, doesn't he? Right. Really, Ancelotti. But
I mean, I think that the obvious place that he goes is Man City, just because, you know, Yaya is on his way out. So I think that would be, you know, a great replacement.
Stick it to United, too, for letting him walk.
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
Maybe back to United. They can afford him.
I think I get the sense that he's very sour on his experience at United and
under Fergie, though, right? Bear in mind.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess, you know, you throw enough money at a guy, then all is forgiven. But
and it's still a big allure playing for Manchester United.
There is, I think, right now. There's
that grieves me.
Yeah, I think there's a greater allure right now of playing for Juventus. So I think he was.
Him personally.
Yes. Yeah. Right, okay. And I think, well, in general sense too, right? They've made the semifinals.
But I'm not dismissing or discounting Juve. I know you're saying from a football standpoint, absolutely, but it's still Manchester United.
I get it.
Arguably is the biggest draw in world football.
Yes.
As far as a brand is
sure.
From a brand they
are. Absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't argue that. But I think in terms of football right now, I think that, you know, the better option
Juve's a better team.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I mean, I hope that he stays another season or two because I think that would probably be best for him in terms of his development as a player. But money talks.
Well, I wonder, do you think a player would welcome going to a team in a league that is extremely competitive? There's three or four teams that can win. Or going to a Serie A where Juve is going to win next year again. It's like going to Germany
right,
and Bayern Munich. You know, you're going to walk to the title. Mm-hmm. It seems every year right now. Or do they want that competitiveness and that edge? That's
a good question. I mean, I don't know how much. I can't really see that being that much of a factor. I'm sure it is to a certain degree, but I mean, ultimately, I think what it comes down to is playing time, how much they're going to get, money, how much they're going to get.
Yeah,
and I think Europe too, right? I mean.
Sure.
The fact that Juventus is going to go automatically into the group stage next year, I think that's a big, big plus that they got going for him. If he were to go to United, chances are he might have to go through a qualifier first.
Yeah, sure.
Before they go into the group stage. So
yeah.
I think these are all factors.
I just wonder if players get bored. That's all, you know. If you're in a Juve or a Bayern and you're playing week in, week out, I don't know if you can get bored winning easily every week, but maybe you can. Maybe you want some more battle.
I mean, Ryan Giggs, how long did he stay at United, right?
Yeah.
How long did Paolo Maldini stay at Milan? How long did Totti stay at Roma?
Yeah, but were they on all dominating teams, or were they on teams that won often, but were often pushed a long way?
Tough
games in those seasons.
I think there were times when they were dominant teams. I mean, United, in their heyday, they were pretty dominant.
Sure, they were, sure. But, I mean, there would still be, you know, you meet two or three teams every year, a couple of times, which would push you real tight.
Yeah.
Juve right now, I mean, really, I know they lost a couple of games this year, but generally speaking, you're going to win every single week.
But I mean, there were those years where United absolutely ran away with the title, right?
Yep.
So, and I mean, the same thing Milan with Maldini during the, you know, the late 80s when they
But there's also one club men too. Pogba's already been around the block a little bit.
Yeah, and he's young. Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious. I mean, do players get bored with winning all the time?
It's a very good question.
I think I would quite
new
like
challenges?
Knowing that. Yeah, new challenges.
Maybe.
Maybe the Champions League satisfies the appetite.
I do think that is the overriding factor. I mean, I really think, and again, the playing time factor. He's a guaranteed starter at Juventus. There's no question. If he were to go to Real Madrid or Manchester City, how would he, or Manchester United, sorry, how would he fit in there? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, but every player thinks he can fit into the best teams in the world, right?
Well, sure they
so,
can.
So, you know.
But it doesn't make it
Does he even know what formation they play? I don't know. I'll find a way in there. Yeah, put me a right back if I have to.
Could be.
I'll get in there. Chelsea clinched as well. We should mention that. Another really boring title race.
Yeah.
I think they're in first place from the first weekend, pretty much, weren't they? Give or take.
Well,
a few days there.
We thought they were going to go undefeated for a time.
Yeah, we did. So. Yeah. You mentioned that way too early, didn't you?
Yes.
And they blew it to
Newcastle. Of all teams.
That's right. Newcastle. My God.
Of all teams.
Wow. Poor old John Carver had a meltdown this weekend, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Did you see the play where I forget who?
Williamson.
Williamson. Yeah.
He suggested it was an intentional second yellow.
I don't think so. I mean, it was a stupid.
What was he doing then?
Well, it was a stupid play. There's no question. It was just a brain fart of a play. But
he knows the player and he knows the player's character. For him to say that suggests that there's more to it than one stupid play. This is a guy that he can't rely on.
But
he's probably epitomizing all that's wrong in that room.
But I wonder if he was just saying that out of frustration, because it's moments after the game. He's kind of worked up about, eight losses in a row and the very real prospect that they might be relegated. So
he also tossed his entire team under the bus as well.
Oh, he certainly did.
On a scale of 1 to 10, the compete effort level is -12.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, a bit of an odd number to throw out, -12.
John's an odd guy.
He is. I just feel bad for him. I like him a lot. And I feel really bad for him.
Now here's a question. Does Newcastle, do they make a change?
Now? Well, apparently they went for Steve McLaren, who has turned them down.
Oh, really?
That's the reports came down this morning.
Wow.
Now they're saying we're going to stick with him until the end of the season because, the guy they wanted, who might join perhaps in the summer, has said no to them. So I think they're going to be okay. They're getting sucked down there. Right
they're
now, Newcastle are on 35. They're 2 points in safety. Now, bear in mind, Hull play Arsenal today. They're a point back. Now, they're going to probably lose to Arsenal, but hey, they beat Liverpool last week.
Right.
But yeah, there's a dogfight there. Sunderland, who is the last relegation spot right now, have a game in hand as well.
There you go.
So they win that. They're on 35. Yeah.
And now
you could stay up on 35. No,
I don't think you can.
No, you don't. You need more than that, don't you?
I think they're going to need.
Leicester's playing well. They're on 34. Three games left. Man, it's wide open, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Burnley and QPR.
Yeah, they're done.
I think they're done.
27 and 26. It's that 18th spot.
Right.
Sunderland on 33. And they've got a game in hand. Leicester on 34, three games left. Hull on 34, four games left, including today. And Newcastle 35 with Villa. Villa's not safe yet. I mean, they're playing well enough. They're going to be okay.
Right.
But, yeah.
It's close.
And let's see. Newcastle's final three games are against. Come on, Interweb. There you go. Their last three games are against, West Brom this week. That's.
Winnable.
QPR.
It's winnable.
And then it's West Ham. So they're all winnable games.
They're all winnable games.
They're also huge games.
Yeah.
QPR could be enormous if they go on any kind of run.
Yeah.
Right? We'll see. I think there's, I don't know, eight games in a row that lost. He's lost the room. Maybe there will be the team sucked down there.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's eight games in a row. Yeah. I get the sense that he's lost the room. They're really getting sucked down into this. Like, would we have predicted this at the beginning of March that they would be in trouble?
No chance.
No. No chance. Nope. So. I don't think you can underestimate just how much of a sort of downward spiral they're in right now.
I just wonder, all those idiot fans that hated Alan Pardew.
Yeah, where are they now?
Pardew out. Well, you got your wish. He left on his own volition, I suppose, to Crystal Palace. And since then, your team has choked. They've been dreadful. With Alan Pardew there, they wouldn't have lost eight straight games. Whatever happened,
no.
I'm not blaming it on John Carver.
No,
whatever
of course
the chemistry was there, how it worked in the room, it worked to a certain degree. They weren't playing great under Pardew at that point, but still, they were surviving.
Yeah,
they weren't going to be relegated.
No, I agree.
I just hope those fans can look in the mirror and say, yeah, well, we were right anyway to demand Pardew left. My God.
Well, we'll see how it works out.
The club's in disarray, isn't it? Really is.
Yeah.
It's sad. Back to Chelsea, though. Champions in a really weak league this year. I think it's fair to say. I mean, I think they're good enough. They probably would have won in a stronger league anyway, but it's a weak league, and City and Arsenal made it easy for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, had Arsenal been able to sustain, show more consistently, because during the second half of the season, I think they've been brilliant. So if they were able to be on that brilliant form all season long, if Liverpool, I mean, remember that run where they
run
were
there
like,
for a while, yeah.
Yeah, if they could have extended that for a little bit longer, if Man United or Man City played a little bit better, then, you know, we would have had a title race on our hands. But I don't think it was ever really in doubt.
Yeah, I'm with you. Should we move on to the Champions League?
The Champions.
Etc, etc. Juve Real Madrid goes tomorrow, J-Mo.
Yes.
We've discussed Juve already. Up against Real without Karim Benzema. He has not made the squad.
Yes, and Modric is still out.
Modric out as well, yep. Apart from that, though, they're pretty strong.
Yep.
They came off a big win against Sevilla this weekend. Bale's healthy.
Yeah.
Again, what are your thoughts ahead of this game?
Tough. I mean, I think it's going to be very tough. I get the sense that this is going to be this first leg anyway, is going to be very tight and conservative. I think Juventus is just going to focus on stopping Real Madrid and really being defensively tight and compact and organized and not giving anything away and really take their chances in the return match in Madrid. And I think that'll be fine for Madrid too. I don't think they're going to try and force the issue. I think they'll gladly take a 0-0 away from Turin and then, mm-hmm. you know, return home.
Absolutely.
And hopefully they can win it there. So I think this is going to be a tight contest with, you know, I said 0-0, but, you know, if there is a goal, if there are goals, I don't think there'll be many.
Barcelona, Bayern Munich, that's on Wednesday. Yeah, Barca stumbling into this one. The back of an 8-0 win against Cordoba.
Yeah, they squeaked it out.
Well, with this match, and it's too bad about the injuries to Bayern Munich. Robben's out for the season.
Yeah.
They're keeping Lewandowski's selection a secret right now. He's got a broken nose and jaw and concussion
from
2 weeks ago. I can't imagine he'll play.
Unless he plays with a mask. But
even then. My God. I mean, you've got options, right? I know you've got injuries. Put Müller up front. Put Götze in the false nine. There's options for this team, right?
Yeah.
We'll see Pep. And I think that's overshadowing the entire game is Pep's return to the Camp Nou.
Well, it's his
who else could do that for this type of game?
Yeah, it's his first game back at the place where he became a star. I mean, where he started as a ball boy, for crying out loud. So this will be a really interesting one. I think tactically too, because as you know, well know, James, he's not that he's all over the place, but he's really he's tactically diverse. Let's just say
that's a great way of putting it.
So,
and he knows his Barcelona team pretty much. It's still pretty much his team. I know
it is.
Obviously,
there's Neymar and Suarez.
Yeah, Neymar, which obviously that's huge, that front three, right. But they don't play quite the same tiki-taka as under him, obviously.
No.
A bit more direct.
And Iniesta isn't obviously a key
Xavi's
player
not
role.
The guy.
And Xavi is.
I guess it's actually a completely different team.
Well, no, I mean, there's remnants of it. But this will be an interesting one because I'm interested to see. There are two teams with different momentum right now. Obviously, Barcelona, I think, has just been brilliant over the last five games. I think they've outscored their opponents 20-0.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And Bayern coming off, I think they either lost.
Two losses, actually.
Two losses in a row, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, interesting one.
But let's be honest, you know where their eyes have been from, you know.
Sure.
The last, this is a draw came out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to win the German championship. So, it's going to be fascinating. And I know they've got the injuries, but we saw Alcantara come back last time out in the Champions League.
He
was phenomenal.
He was. I think the bigger loss for me, obviously, if Lewandowski doesn't play, that's
it's a huge loss. Yeah,
it's a huge loss. But I think David Alaba is because he's questionable too. I think I'm such a big fan of his. I think he's been outstanding.
Me too. That being said, he was out last time around, wasn't he?
And it's true.
He played Porto pretty well.
And that's the other thing too. I'll be interested to see if Bayern does what Porto did in the first leg, press them high up the field, and really make guys like Alonso and who else coughed up the ball.
Dante.
Yeah. If they really sort of press them high and force them to sort of play with the ball out of the back, because I think if Barca can do that, then especially at home, if they can rack up like a 2-0 lead, then that's massive.
Well, Porto have clearly, you know, showed other teams that this is
that's
the
template
should play against
exactly
them right now. Yeah. To do it over two legs is something.
Well,
different,
that's
right.
Yeah,
but
that's another story entirely.
But hey, listen, I mean, these are two evenly matched teams.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest here. And both very well managed, one with huge injury concerns, which gives Barca the edge. But I think this would be a doozy, this one.
In a sense, it's almost a shame that it's not the final, because I think they're the two best teams in world club football right now. But Then again, we're getting two games.
It's one of those games between two big teams that cannot be anything but a great match. Because just the way they play, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they aren't destroyers. I know Bayern have that ability to a point.
Yeah.
We saw against Shakhtar they could do it, right?
Yeah.
But they want to play football.
I think of the two games, this tie is going to be the entertaining one.
Could be a real snoozer, as you mentioned.
There. Absolutely could. I mean, I think now I remember the last time they played in the semifinals in 2003, where you had guys like Figo and Zidane and Raul and that funny English guy.
Oh, Michael Owen?
No, I was going to say
that one.
Beckham.
Beckham, of course. Owen there too in 2003?
No.
He wasn't?
No.
When was he?
He went
there in 2004 because he left the year before they won the Champions League. Right. Michael, well done.
So, and that was a great semifinal. I mean, then you had guys like Del Piero and Trezeguet and Thuram and Zambrotta. So if it can match even anything close to that semifinal, then we're in for some real entertainment. I just think this first leg is going to be a bit of a snoozer.
Be a lot of shots in the crowd of the Juve legends in attendance. Trez was there last time, wasn't he?
Yeah, Nedved's always there. Trezeguet will be there. Del Piero will be an interesting one because I know he's in California right now.
Is he?
Yeah, so I wonder if he'll make the trip.
Hope so.
That'd be great.
Oh, imagine that. Oh. Those boys sitting together.
Fabulous.
Be brilliant. Maybe Bex, you know, he's 40 now. You know, he's probably got the card from the wife to go spend some time with the boys at the party with the family this past weekend in Marrakesh.
Really?
Big news that was. You know that, J-Mo? Is Beckham's 40th?
Oh, I knew it was 40th. I didn't know it was in Marrakesh.
Oh, whatever. You've been trolling him all weekend.
No, I haven't.
You made one really cynical comment.
Did I?
Yeah. You compared, I think, something to do with the royal baby being born and Beckham's 40th, and if this is news in today's world, what a world
no,
we live
in. No, but
I
don't think I drew a comparison between Beckham and the royal family.
Isn't the same tweet?
I don't think so.
Oh, you did. You responded to one of mine, didn't you?
No, I don't think I drew comparisons between the two. I did say, like, the coverage of the royal baby is ridiculous. That's insane. Like,
I'm sure I made
a snarky remark about Beckham. I'm not disputing that. That's not in question. I don't think I linked it to the royal family.
No? All right.
Maybe I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I guess you should know what you wrote. Oh, here we go. Oh.
Am I wrong? What did I say?
You replied. I tweeted about the, you know, Beckham's getting more press than the royal baby. And you said, my God, what a world we live in when these two events are news stories.
Okay. I stand corrected.
Old man Molinaro, not happy about it one bit.
I stand corrected then. I did tweet it. I stand by the comment too. It's absurd.
Oh, it is absurd, yeah. You're right. Anyway, listen, we're out of time. Both those games, by the way, are on Sportsnet. Myself and Craig Forrest will join you at 2:30 Eastern, Tuesday and Wednesday on Sportsnet. And check out sportsnet.ca between now and then and during those games. Why not? For all your Champs League coverage, you can handle, right?
Yep.
What do we have today? Who's on the site? Sam Gregory's done a piece.
Yeah, Sam Gregory's done an analytics piece on Pirlo, which is a really interesting read. We've got a photo gallery on the 8 players to watch. We've got the Sportsnet panel offering their picks and predictions, including yourself and myself. So, and we're going to have other preview content. And then we've got preview content coming in for the Amway Canadian Championship semifinals as well.
Cool.
And I'm going to be in Montreal covering the game on Wednesday. So,
and you hate Montreal so much.
Oh, it's such a God awful city. No, I love it there. So a lot of stuff going on in Sportsnet.ca.
All right. Thank you very much, Jamie. Our thanks to Paul Dolan, of course. And I hope you enjoyed it, everyone. Cheers for listening.